Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you again this morning, bring you greetings from Bethel Chapel in Juniata Park, and it's a blessing to be able to share God's word with you here this morning. There's a joke about a businessman that ran into a friend who was a stockbroker, and because of the stress and the pressure of his jobs, he had been having really serious health issues, ulcers, high blood pressure. So this businessman said to the stockbroker, "How's your health?" And he said, "It's much better. The ulcers are gone. My blood pressure is lower." And the man said, "That's great news. How did that happen?" And the stockbroker said, "Well, it's easy. I hired a professional worrier. Whenever something comes along that I need to worry about, I tell him about it, and he does all the worrying for me." The businessman couldn't believe it. He said, "That's incredible." He said, "I'd be interested in something like that." He said, "How much does it cost?" And the stockbroker said, "Well, it costs $500,000 a year." And the businessman said, "How in the world can you afford that?" And the stockbroker said, "I don't know. I let him worry about it." Now, don't you wish that you could hire a professional worrier? Wouldn't that be nice? And of course, the truth behind that joke is that it would never work, right? We would just have something else to worry about. Now, if you're like me, I would be interested in applying for the position of professional worrier, right? That sounds great. If we could somehow monetize and make a career path out of worrying, I think a lot of us would probably do okay. How do you stop worrying? In our text this morning, Jesus is going to directly address worry. I think we have a tendency to think a lot of times that worry is a problem of our age with the internet and phones and instability. But here, Jesus in Luke chapter 12 is addressing his disciples, and he's just been laying out for them what following him is going to be like in chapter 12. And worry is one of the main issues that he brings up to them that they're going to have to be aware of. Jesus had started out in Luke chapter 12 by talking about the need for boldness, not fearing people, but fearing God. And then Jesus has just gotten done warning the disciples about the danger of greed. He gives the story about a rich man who says, "Look, I've got it made. All I got to do is just build some bigger barns and I'm going to be set." Then Jesus says he loses his own soul. And now Jesus goes from talking about greed to worry, from wanting to accumulate riches to worrying about everyday needs. Luke 12, 22, and he said to his disciples, so he's talking to his followers here, he says, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on." One person said, "Greed can never get enough, and worry is afraid it might not have enough." So instead of focusing on God, worry is focused on what might happen in the future. And the way that Jesus is talking about worry here reminds us that worry is about things that we actually need. With greed, we're trying to accumulate things we don't need. But with worry, we're actually concerned with things that really do matter. Jesus is going to end this section here in verse 30 and saying, "Your Father knows you need these things." In these days, food and clothing were probably the primary things that were in short supply. They were expensive. Being able to afford them was not guaranteed. And I think we live in a culture today where food and clothing, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time are assumed. We can get the food and the clothes that we need. But Jesus is talking here about things that we legitimately need. And I think it's worth just remembering that just because we live in a day and age where maybe food and clothing aren't as in short supply as they would have been back then, we still have a lot of things that we are tempted to worry about. In other words, it would be really nice if we could just say, "Well, look, I don't worry about food and clothes, so I'm set," right? But we have everyday things like car payments, house payments, rent, repairs on our houses and cars, scholarships for college, promotions, retirement funds. things that we're trying to save up for around the house, vacations, Christmas is around the corner. So just because we maybe don't worry specifically about food and clothing anymore, Jesus' point is still the same here. We struggle with worrying about things that we need. Maybe it's a little different in our day and age with the things that we're worried about, but we still have the same problems that Jesus' disciples had when Jesus first spoke these words. Like a lot of other sins, like pride or greed, worry is something that basically every Christian struggles with. It shows itself in different forms, but here Jesus includes it in one of the main things that we need to know as his followers. If you're going to be his disciple, if you're going to show up and be his follower, then you need to be aware that worry is a danger. Worry can have physical side effects. Beating heart, sleepless nights. We can have emotional responses to worry, just being filled with fear or numb to the world. Worry is how we think about the future, and it can quickly overtake us. One person said that worry is a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Worry starts with a small question. A thought about the future that you're not exactly sure how something is going to work out. And as you dwell on that thought, it cuts itself deeper and deeper into your mind. And before long, all other thoughts are drained into it. So what do we do with our worry? If hiring a professional worrier is not an option, what do we do? Most of the time, I think that our first reaction to worry is to just tell ourselves to stop it, right? Stop worrying. Don't do that. Thought comes into your mind, no, I'm not going to worry about that. But that doesn't work very well, does it? Because the thoughts just come right back to your mind. And then you're probably starting to worry about how much you're worrying, right? You're worried that you can't stop worrying. And I just want to show you here in this text this morning in Luke chapter 12, verses 23 to 30, Jesus goes much further than saying, stop worrying. Just don't do it. If it were that simple, maybe that's what he would have said. But what Jesus does say is we have to think about worry differently, and we have to think about God differently. And I just want to show you those two themes in these eight verses. And instead of going verse by verse, I just want to go through those eight verses and show those two things to you, because I think those are the two themes that Jesus keeps coming back to. We have to think about worry differently, and we have to think about God differently. So the first thing is we stop worrying by remembering that worry is worthless. Worry is worthless. And you might say, well, that kind of sounds over simplistic, or I don't know if there's certainly much more to it than that. Then there is the second part that we need to think about God differently. But Jesus here goes to great pains. He repeats it over and over again. Worrying is worthless. Verse 22 and 23, Jesus says to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. The very first reason that Jesus says we shouldn't worry about daily essentials is that your life is about more than just those things. And in this sense, worry is similar to greed because it's a focus on the material things. Jesus has just gotten done condemning the man who wanted to just build bigger barns. That's all his life was about. And he ends that section by saying, this man was a fool because he wasn't rich towards God. He might have been rich in material things, but he lost his soul because he wasn't rich towards God. William MacDonald said it this way. He said, one of the great dangers in the Christian life is that the acquisition of food and clothing becomes the first and foremost aim of our existence. We become so occupied with earning money for these things that the work of the Lord is relegated to secondary place. The emphasis of the New Testament is that the cause of Christ should have first place in our lives. Food and clothing should be subordinate. We should work hard for the supply of our current necessities, then trust God for the future as we plunge ourselves into his service. This is the life of faith. The reason that worry is worthless is that it's focusing on such a tiny part of your life. The thing that you're worried about that's keeping you awake at night, the thing that keeps coming back to your mind without you even trying to, financial strains, house repairs, different applications that you have to fill out for government programs that we are constantly stressing about. But if we let those things consume us, our life has become about one very small thing. And like William MacDonald said, we're supposed to be pushing into the work of service to the Lord, putting his kingdom first, and letting all these things be added to us. Here's another reason that worry is worthless. Right in the middle of this text, verses 25 and 26, this is what Jesus says. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If you then cannot even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Jesus is just pointing out something, you know, real obvious here. Worrying doesn't actually do anything. Doesn't actually fix anything. Jesus uses the illustration, what if you spent your whole life worrying about how long you were going to live? If you worried and worried and worried about it, would your life be even 1 second longer? No. In fact, we might say your life might be shorter if you spent all that time worrying about it. But you didn't make your life even 1 hour longer by worrying about it. Worrying doesn't do any good. Jesus just says, if you can't even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? If we could focus all of our worry onto one small thing, even that small thing would be untouched by our worry. So why worry? It's worthless. And then notice the other thing in this text that Jesus says about the worthlessness of worry. Verses 29 and 30. Do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. We would expect worry to be a common characteristic of people that don't know God. They don't believe in him. They don't even think he's out there. They're living in rebellion to him. Of course, they would need professional worriers, but as God's people, we surely would be different. Why would we be letting our thoughts be consumed with the same worry as the unbelieving world? Jesus points out to his disciples, worrying is a common characteristic of people who don't know me. Faith is the characteristic of people that are following me. So Jesus keeps coming back to this theme that worry is worthless. Worry starts as a trickle of fear, but quickly forms into a canyon that all of our other thoughts run into. And so worry starts to feel inevitable because we've been practicing it for a while. We've gotten good at it. We put some time and energy, whether or not we realize it or want to admit it or not. We've spent some time worrying, and over time, we could try out for the Olympic team. We're not doing too bad because we've practiced so long on it. But just because it feels natural, just because we've been doing it for so long, doesn't mean that it's good. Jesus says it's worthless. There's a story about a man that was touring Italy, and he visited a cathedral that had been completed on the outside. And when he went inside, the construction of the interior was still underway. And he stopped for a minute and watched a man that was working on a massive mosaic that was set to go up against a wall. And after just a few minutes of watching this man, the tourist just felt overwhelmed with how daunting that task was. There was a table with little shards of ceramic tile that this man was painstakingly arranging in order to make this mosaic, but he had just begun, and it was a massive wall that was set to be filled with it. So the tourist stopped and asked this man, you know, how do you keep going? It just looks a little too discouraging. And the man said, each morning I come in and I know what I can do in the day, and I mark that off, and that's what I work on for the day, and when that's done, I go home. Part of the way that we stop worrying is we draw the lines clearly in our thinking over what we can control and what we can do today. The stress and the fear and the worry over the things that are outside of it, we realize that's going to be worthless. It's not going to help us. It's not going to do any good. So that's the first theme that you see through these eight verses. You have to think differently about worry. Notice that Jesus doesn't leave it optional to us, brothers and sisters, over whether or not you want to keep worrying. Jesus doesn't say, look, some of you disciples, you're just going to struggle with worry your whole life. That's fine. He says, don't do it. He says, it's worthless. It's not supposed to be a characteristic of my people. Now, secondly, notice that Jesus says, if you want to stop worrying, you got to think about God differently. Jesus makes a similar point here to what he said in just a few verses earlier in verse 24. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Jesus' answer for everyday worries is to remind us of everyday blessings. Now, a raven is not some majestic, amazing bird. It's not like a stork or an eagle that you see it and it just kind of takes your breath away because it's some marvelous bird. A raven was considered an unclean animal. If you've ever seen one, they're ugly birds. They're kind of nasty. Nobody, you know, there's not too many people that are using them as pets. They were in that day and age, they were really despised. Maybe the closest thing that we could relate them to is pigeons, right? Here in Philly, we have a lot of pigeons. And you see those things and you don't think, oh, that's so wonderful. I mean, at least I don't. Maybe you do. But it's just basically, you would say it's a kind of a dumb bird. You know, it's a kind of a nasty bird. Nobody cares about those things. Nobody's taking care of it. In a couple of verses earlier, Jesus has mentioned the ravens, or the sparrows. And they're kind of like little tiny, kind of cute birds. But here he mentions ravens. Nobody thinks they're anything special. And Jesus says, God feeds them. We wouldn't think about that. You would say, well, the raven's got to get up in the morning and go looking for food, right? He's got to eat it. But from God's perspective, the reason that birds get food is that God feeds them. Yes. I guess it's true for pigeons too, right? The reason that the pigeons get food is that God feeds them. Why does he do that? He made them, and he's a good God. There's times that we struggle with our view of ourselves. We struggle to remind ourselves that we are image bearers made in the image of God. We struggle to remind ourselves that we are his children, that we've been rescued and redeemed by him and adopted. But I think even on our worst days, we know that we're more valuable to God than a bird, especially an ugly bird that nobody cares about. And yet God is feeding that bird, and that's the reason why Jesus is making an argument from the lesser to the greater. If God's taking care of birds, brothers and sisters, he's going to take care of you. Just an everyday example of the goodness of God that we can rest and rely on. Then Jesus gives another everyday example to help us with everyday worry. He actually goes even lower in the created world. He goes to flowers. Verses 27 and 28, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? So Jesus makes the same point here about flowers that he made about birds. They don't work for what they get, right? You've never seen a raven with a backpack or a refrigerator, right? You've never seen a flower out at the store going shopping for what it's going to wear. How do they get what they have? God gave it to them. In his goodness, in his generosity, he just gave it to them. And the flowers, again, the word that's used here for flowers is a generic word. It's not a rose or a tulip, some special rare thing that we would love to take home. This is just a field of flowers. And later he just says a field of grass. And he says Solomon can't even compete with that. The richest king in Israel's history, that was this kind of a symbol of the height of Israel's wealth and power, can't even compete with what God gives a field of flowers on a daily basis. And that field's only going to last for a couple of days. It's going to be dead before long. A couple of weeks without rain and that thing is gone. And Jesus's point is, God actually cares about those flowers. He's the one that clothes them. He's the one who made them. So if God cares about a field full of flowers, don't you think that God cares about you? Jesus says that when we forget how much God cares about us, we have little faith. We're not trusting in God. We're not counting on Him. This is the thing we don't like to hear and that we don't want to admit, but worry is a sign that we're trusting in someone or something else, right? Worry is when normally it's ourselves. We're looking at ourselves and what we can do, whether or not I have enough, whether or not I'm going to be able to do this or that. And that's a sign that we aren't trusting in God. There's one sense, of course, in which we have daily responsibilities. We have to work for things in this life. A bird goes out looking for food. A flower uses sunshine and rain to grow. We have to have jobs. We go shopping for food, and we have to prepare it. Somebody, you know, you're going to have to take the fork and lift it to your mouth in order to eat. But what Jesus's point here is in that in everyday things that we struggle to worry with, like how are we going to make the car payment, or where are we going to live, or what's going to happen with my health. We are involved in those things, but that doesn't mean we have to worry about them. We can trust our Heavenly Father. We have human responsibilities each day. We have errands to run and things to do. But worry is about how you imagine the future. Worry is when that thought comes about the bill that's going to come due next week. All the errands and things that need to get done tomorrow. What am I going to do then? But that's when we are picturing the future without God. Faith pictures the future where God will provide. It's a different way of thinking about tomorrow. Oswald Chambers said, all of our fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. All of our fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. We imagine the problem. We look forward to tomorrow. We know about whatever the thing is we're worrying about, and we're picturing that, we're imagining that, but we're not picturing or imagining the goodness of God. We're not including that in our picture of the future. So God cares about you. He generously provides for you. Notice the very last thing that Jesus says that wraps up this section in verse 30. For all of these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows you need these things. So there's the two points, right? The worthlessness of worry, that's what the unbelieving world is doing. But then he says, you vastly underestimated your Father. God knows you need these things. God knows you. God knows your situation. Brothers and sisters, God knows what kept you awake last night. You come into church on a Sunday morning, and very often the people that are sitting around us don't know a lot of the everyday struggles and burdens that we are going through. Sometimes they do, and you've spent time already praying for each other, and that's so wonderful. But often, some of the trials that we are going through, maybe no one else in the church family knows. Maybe no one else in your family knows about it. But you know who does know? God. He knows all about it. God knows. Even here in the city, We see birds and grass every day, right? Even if it's pigeons and it's some grass growing up in between the cracks in the sidewalk, we see birds and grass every single day. And Jesus, I think, intentionally uses those everyday reminders that you and I are going to see every time we walk outside the door as a reminder that if God is taking care of birds and grass, then he can take care of you. A lot of the times, the reason that our worries bother us so much is that it seems like no one cares. And here, Jesus is just explaining to us the heart of the Father and saying, I don't think you really understand just how generous my Father is, just how good he is. He's taking care of birds and grass. If he's taking care of birds and grass, he's going to take care of you. The thing that kept you awake last night, God cares about it. The thing that later on is going to like come into your mind and it's just going to grip your heart with worry, God cares about that thing. I don't know what it is. I maybe can't even imagine. God knows and God cares. So here's the simple two-pronged attack that you can make on your worry every single time it comes into your mind. God knows and God cares. It's simple truth. It's something that if I had sat out in the door this morning as you came in and said, do you believe that God knows and that God cares? You would have said, oh yeah, I think probably everybody here knows that and believes that. And yet we have to take that and use that to attack the worry in our hearts and in our heads. God knows and God cares. Now, if you're not in a relationship with God, if you're still living in rebellion to him, then you can't rest and rely on him, right? You're still living for yourself. You're still living by yourself. So, of course, your life is going to be marked by worry. If you're living for material things, then you're going to be worried about losing those things. If you're living for comfort, you're going to be worried about losing comfort. So if you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sins and trusted in Christ and started your relationship with him, do that today. There's always a possibility that the reason that your life is so chock full of worry is that you're not one of his followers. You don't even know the very beginnings of the goodness and the generosity of his heart because you haven't seen how much he loves you and paying the price for your sin. So if you're here like that this morning, turn to Christ. Rest in him to save you from your sins. Rest in him as the one who rescued you from your sin. That's the first step that you have to make. But if you have done that, would you leave here this morning with just the simple reminder that God knows and God cares? He's a good father. When is the last time that you just spent some time thinking about not the thing you're worrying about, but the fact that God knows and cares about the thing that you're worrying about? There's a story that came out. A man wrote a book by the name of Charles Allen. And in the book, he told the story about the troops in World War II. As the war was wrapping up, they started to gather the orphans into some camps. There was a lot, obviously, because of the war of orphans and little kids that had gone through all sorts of horrible things through the war. And as they gathered them into these camps, they started to notice that even though there was plenty of food in the camps and everything was safe there for them, the kids, most of them, weren't sleeping well at night. So one person had the idea that because before they went to bed, they would give the kids a piece of bread to hold through the night. And they were told they're not supposed to eat the bread, but just to sleep with it in their hand. And this had amazing results. The children went to bed, knew that there was enough food, and they slept soundly. As Christians, we go to sleep every night holding on to the everyday goodness of God. We go to bed every night gripping the promises of God, that God knows and God cares. And if you wake up in the middle of the night with those thoughts filled with worry, you need to remember what you fell asleep with, the goodness of God. He knows and he cares. And when we wake up, those first unbidden thoughts that rush into our mind of what has to get done today and what if this happens and what if that happens, we need to remember what we're holding on to, that we have the bread of life. The promise from Jesus himself that our Father in heaven, he knows and he cares. Each worry that we have is just another reason to hold on to that bread of life a little tighter. You've probably heard the famous old hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow. It was written by Sevilla Martin in the early 1900s. And the reason that she wrote that hymn is because in 1905, Mrs. Martin and her husband befriended an elderly couple in upstate New York. Their names were actually Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. And they were living through horrendous suffering. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for 20 years. And Mr. Doolittle was an incurable cripple who was bound to a wheelchair. And this younger couple, the Martins, they started to spend some time with the Doolittles. And as they did, they started to see that this couple was always just filled with joy. The Doolittles, in spite of all of their health issues and all of their suffering, were always happy, encouraging people. And one day, Mr. Martin couldn't take it anymore, and he just said, "What's your secret? How are you guys always so happy?" And Mr. Doolittle just smiled and said, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." That was the inspiration for the well-known hymn, "Why Should I Feel Discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he lead us, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Yes. Brothers and sisters, worrying is worthless, but your God knows and God cares. And let your worries remind you to put your eyes on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your followers, we want our whole lives to be pleasing to you. We know that we can't just section off portions of our life and give you some of them and then other ones hold on to ourselves and ways of thinking, doubts and fears that don't please you. So, Lord, this morning from your word, we've been reminded that you've told us not to worry. Worrying's not going to help us. And we have to think differently about worry, and we have to think differently about you if we're ever going to please you in this area of our life. So, Lord, as I close this morning, I just ask that if there's anybody here that the reason their life is so filled with worry is that they're actually your enemy. They're actually still apart from you. Lord, would you bring conviction into their heart and life this morning? Would you open up their eyes to the goodness of you, the goodness of your plan of salvation and rescuing them from sin? And Lord, I pray for each and every believer. Lord, you know that we struggle. You know that we are tempted to be professional worriers. And so, Lord, would you stoop down to us in our weakness and in your grace and strength, Lord, fix our eyes on you. Remind us, Lord, not just here on a Sunday morning, but remind us on a Tuesday afternoon and a Thursday morning and a Saturday around lunchtime that you know and you care. Lord, as we go to bed at night, remind us that you know and you care. Lord, when we wake up in the morning, would you remind us that you know and you care? Lord, these are precious truths that we need to hold on to for all we're worth, Lord. And would you help us to do that, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.